Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online. This is the ninth lecture on Genesis. I will continue talking about the seven spirits, which is one of the divided entities of God the Father. I told you that seven spirits are the heart of God that measures the seven attributes of a people. As a result of the measuring seven fields, if you pass each measure of faith, your prayer will be answered. As you listen to each word, check whether you can pass the test of the seven spirits. The same applies to those who think it is difficult to keep all seven fields. If you keep one thing, you can keep all seven ones. If there is a faith, there will be love. And if there is a faith, joy, prayer, gratitude, faithfulness is within you. So rather than saying it's difficult because there are seven fields, it means that if you can keep one, you can just keep the rest. So far, I've explained four out of seven: faith, joy, prayer, and gratitude. The fifth attribute of seven spirits measure is how well you keep the commandments of God. In the Bible, there are instructions such as to what to do, what not to do, what to keep, and what to cast away. All of these are the commitments that all the children of God should keep. God summarized these numerous commandments into 10 and commanded us to keep them. These are known as the 10 commandments. The seven spirits of God precisely measured how well you keep the 10 commandments. When God wants to give answers to your prayer, He reflects on the rigor of this measurement. When you think of the 10 commandments, you don't say, oh, I just have to keep this 10. If you say you can keep this 10, you can keep everything in the 66 book of the Bible. So, putting this all together, God briefly categorized it into the 10 categories. The 10 commandments are divided into the 66 volume of the Bible. God gives answers and a blessing to those who keep the commandments well. On the other hand, He cannot give answers to prayer of those who don't live by the commandments. Why does keeping the commandments become a condition to receive the answer to your prayer? The fact that you receive the answers and the blessing from God proves that you are loved by God. However, God the Father works on everything according to justice. He doesn't give answers and a blessing to just anyone. Only to those who are worthy to receive the love and the justice can be given that love by God. You will be loved by God by keeping the commandments. It will be proof that you have a faith and you will receive the response. So Proverbs chapter 8, 17, that you love says, I love those who love me, and that those who diligently seek me will find me. It's so natural that God loves those who love Him. Because they love God, they also desperately seek Him, as the verse says. What does it mean to honestly seek God? You too can meet God. Anyone can meet. Servants of the Lord or elders are not only ones who can meet God. However, it is very unfortunate if you still do not know what means to seek God. The answer is always in the Bible. Do you know? What is the desperately seek God? Do not you know? To put it simply, it's about finding where God is. If you go to where God is, you can meet Him. But where is He? He's in light, goodness, and love. Finding God means discarding evil from your heart and emulating the Lord. Only then can you enter the light and meet God. If you do this, you will definitely meet God. God made countless promises in the Old and the New Testament. He said, if you seek, you will find, and if you knock, it will be opened to you. If you believe and ask, it will be given to you. He always promises that it will be done according to your faith. It's not something difficult. Exodus chapter 26 says, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. God loves and will give grace to the thousands of a generation to those who keep His commandments. Do you have this evidence of God's love? Are you blessed with a material blessing and a good health? If you feel disgusted, irritated, and uncomfortable with the slightest things, you are far from keeping the commandments. The Bible says if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue and take your tunic, let him have your clothes as well. All the people know these verses, so they don't keep it in mind. It means that they are not circumcised, not doing what God commands. However, keeping the commandments ultimately proves that you love God. Our Lord also says in John chapter 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. People who keep the commandments will not steal, be jealous, hate anyone, judge, condemn, whisper, complain, or commit adultery. The Lord also says the verse 21, those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. Likewise, keeping His commandments tells that you love God. The Lord says, He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also love Him and will reveal myself to Him. He says that people who love Him are also loved by God. In this way, a person who truly loves God keeps God's commandments. Therefore, we keep God's commandments to no matter what the situation and without any reason. Only then will God be pleased. If you know heaven, of course you go to the heaven. But if you know hell, why would you go to hell? Also, why should you do something that God hates? So, keeping the commandments is the loving God. It's not something you have to force yourself to do. You do it happily because you love God. Of course, for believers who are still young in faith, there are times when it feels difficult to live according to God's commandments. The reason is why they do not love God. They cannot even feel His love. If you have a faith, you will love, and if you love, you will keep it. But since you do not know God clearly and only have a little knowledge from what you've heard, you cannot say you love God, committing sin. So they cannot keep the commandments completely. In this way, God also waits believers who are young in faith, growing. Do newborn children love their parents? 100-day-old babies smile. Well, it seems like they recognize their mothers and the smile, but that's not the case. Babies do not yet recognize their parents' faces accurately. When someone other than the mother looks at the child, the baby smiles easily. Those babies don't really know who their mother is, which means they don't really know what a person is. Their laughter is from their nature. Babies don't know much about their fathers. So just because they smile doesn't mean they love their parents. Anyway, if you love God from your heart, you will keep the commandments. And this means that God sees it through faith. Also, even if there are times when you cannot keep the commandments, if you try to live according to the word of God, He still loves you. However, if you have been living faith life for a long time, you should not be unable to keep the commandments. The longer you've been Christians, the more completely you should do it. You should not only strictly adhere to the commandments, but become a perfectly in deeply reverent behavior. Let me explain what is a deeply reverent behavior is. What is the ninth commandment among the ten commandments? Exodus chapter 16 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." False witness is to say something against the truth, such as saying you didn't do something you actually did, or vice versa. This act of a false witness may have a huge effect on making a certain kind of a decision. Especially in a trial, a false witness can make an innocent man to be found guilty or the other way around. Would you speak only the absolute truth if you stood to witness in court? Of course you should. Now, can you say you keep the ninth commandment completely just by doing that? Those who don't bear false witness in any given situation don't tell a lie, even if it's trivial. Even if it doesn't cause serious harm to others, a lie that is told against another person is untruth. In addition, if you keep silent in a situation when you should tell the truth, this act will also be considered as a false witness. Let's say a man B is wrongfully accused of something that was actually done by a man A. However, you keep silent pretending you know nothing because you are close to A. This act cannot pass the measure of a seven spirits of God who searches all things with His fiery eyes. As a faith grows, your heart also becomes truthful, and you will not tolerate even a trivial lie of yourself. And thus, you will not even tell a white lie. A white lie is to say something against the truth in consideration of others. However, as your faith grows, you will not even tell this kind of a white lies. Dear brothers and sisters, adding or omitting information deliberately when conveying someone's word is a form of a bearing false witness. This refers to a situation where you misrepresent what someone said by adding your own interpretation or omitting key details. However, this kind of a false witness also diminishes as your faith grows up. The reason is because such a fleshly thought and the personal feeling disappear as your faith grows up. And so you can speak the truth as you see, hear, and feel it. If you become like this, you will not judge or condemn others as you please. It is also false witness if you judge others and speak about it without knowing others' hurts or situation. As your faith grows up, this kind of a false witness also disappears. When you abandon even the form of evil and the growth of faith, you won't want to do any further things and to hear them. Just looking at the commandments not to bear false witness, the death of a thief varies depending on one's faith. A person cannot be acknowledged to keep the ninth commandment perfectly just because one doesn't bear false witness in a courtroom. The degree of engagement of the keep the commandments should also become better according to your faith level. This principle also applies to all other Ten Commandments. I explained the Ten Commandments in the great detail in my book, The Law of God. Please take this opportunity once again to make a bread of the information in this book. Check how well your faith has matured and how completely you've kept the Ten Commandments. I already delivered a message about the whole title, whole tithe and offerings, and keeping the Lord's Day holy. How many answers and the blessing have you received since you heard the message and obeyed them? Even though you completely obeyed these two things, Father God gave a blessing to many of you as if He had been waiting for you. If you keep the Ten Commandments completely, how much more will God answer and bless you? God will not hesitate to give a blessing, not only to each one of you individually, but to church-wide prayers. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, sixthly, the seven spiritual measures of faithfulness. They measure how faithful each one of you are to your given duties. Therefore, as a servant of God, His worker, as an elder, or as a Sunday school teacher, you should be faithful to your given duties. You should also treasure your duty and the faithful as a group or a senator or as any position you are given. However, if you're faithful only to God-given duties, then it cannot be called a perfect faithfulness. You must be faithful not only to the duty given in your church, but to work at a workplace at home, then it can be called perfect faithfulness. As a husband, a wife, a child, or parent, you should be faithful in truth to any duty you're given. Of course, if asked to choose between the Lord's work and the world's work, you will choose the Lord's work. But it doesn't mean that you can't neglect the other duties. Ultimately, without being biased towards one side, you must all do things properly in the truth for the glory of God. Some people who are high-ranked church workers have serious problems. They come to receive my prayer to solve a problem, and they make confessions of the repentance. What is this? They used to be faithful to their duties with a fervor, but they started to neglect their duties at some point. They say they become absorbed in affairs of their business, so they gradually neglect the Lord's work, or they didn't overcome the difficulties in their lives, or they compromise with the world to avoid the persecution. They were once faithful, so how could their hearts have changed like this? It is because they neglect the spiritual faithfulness even though they say they were faithful. What is the spiritual faithfulness? It is to continually circumcise your heart. It's the work of the washing the robe of your heart without ceasing. Even though there will be difficulties and persecution for those who are spiritually faithful, it eventually diminishes or disappears. You are persecuted because of your fleshly faithfulness, but when you become spiritually faithful, the persecution gradually disappears. Because God is with you and loves you, God has no choice but to love those who are spiritually loyal. Doesn't it clearly say in 1 John that if the Lord God Almighty loves and protects one, no matter how evil he is, he cannot touch the one. Such people do not give up on their duties no matter what the situation is. If you have left your duties, it is evidence of a lack of faith and no evidence of your love towards God. So it's not recognized as a spiritual faithfulness. Even if you have a serious problem at home or with a financial difficulty, they don't give up their duty. Because it's the promise they made to God that they would fulfill their duties. No matter what kind of problems they may encounter, they never break the promise with God. On the other hand, what will happen when they don't circumcise their heart? When faced with the difficulties, their evil side emerges and they can no longer hold on to their faithfulness. They eventually end up giving up the promise they made with God. Therefore, make your faithfulness complete and unchanging. Your faithfulness should be spiritual. Being faithful in all God's house refers to the spiritual faithfulness. The first thing in being faithful to God's whole house is a circumcision of the heart. Without a circumcised heart, the spiritual faithfulness remains out of reach. The first faithfulness you have to accomplish is a personal holiness, free from even the slightest evil. Then the spiritual blessing come, and then blessing of a life come, leading to the faithfulness of the whole house. In your home, you must be faithful as a mother or father or a child. Though they don't give up the duty completely, I've seen people manage their duty under pressure, for they are not full of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they don't even keep their position, or they barely keep it. When the seven spiritual measures this kind of a people, how can they pass the measurement? Therefore, in order to fulfill your duty, you should cast off every form of evil through the circumcisions of your heart. It's not someone else or bad environment that takes away the fullness of a heart from you. It's evil nature that remains in your heart. Therefore, let us once again remember the importance of the spiritual faithfulness. If God had wanted to only behavioral faithfulness, He would not have created man. He has countless angels and heavenly hosts around Him that obey Him well and work faithfully. However, God wants to find the children who are faithful from the depth of their hearts with a love towards God. Our Jesus came to this earth to be faithful to the point of dying because He loves God. Elijah, Moses, and the Apostle Paul, Peter, and John were also faithful completely until their death. I hope that your heart will resemble the Lord's and the heart of the forefathers of a faith to become more faithful than before. Since I started this church, I've never overlooked the work for God, the Father's kingdom, even for a day. On July 25th, 1982, 13 people, 4 children and 9 grown-ups held its opening service. Those 13 people included 5 of my family members. So only original believers are just rest. We had given all night prayers before opening this church, and the fire of a prayer hasn't put out since then. There was no Daniel prayer meeting at the time. From midnight till 4 a.m., I prayed all night long and then soon led an early morning prayer meeting. I had to manage all the meetings because there's no who could lead the early morning prayer meeting. At the time, there wasn't a single worker needed. That's why I never skipped the early morning service. While attending the seminary, I led the preached alone from the early morning service to Sunday service to Wednesday and the Friday night worship. I had to submit a seminary report and had many books to read, but I did it all on my own. So I had no time to sleep or rest, keeping praying at dawn. I never missed the work because I was tired or asked someone else to do it for me. I did what I had to do. I've never tossed it to someone else. I never asked someone to cover it for me. After leading the early prayer meeting, I went to the seminary school after a short break. After I came back from the school, I took care of a sick. So many sick people heard about me. They stayed in the sanctuary to be healed through my prayer. After school, I either took care of such sick people or visited the members. I served each one with my whole heart. Among school students, including ones of primary school, they came to the church from far distance. People living in the Kumho-dong had to transform the buses 3 times. At Changnyangri, at Yongsan, and Noryangjin. At the time, transportation was very inconvenient. They had no money, but they came to this church from far away. How precious souls they were! I served such students in love. On Saturday or Sunday, when they were to go back home after service, I always saw off them at the bus stop. I always waved goodbye and gave them transportation fare. We gave them enough money for transportation so they could come to church again. Since they were students, they couldn't come to church without the transportation fare. Those who changed the buses twice were given transportation fare for 4 rides, and those who did it 3 times were given for 6 rides. Back then, since the total offerings was very little, I didn't do that from church finances. I did that by saving my money. Newcomers were like precious jewels to me. That's why I always prayed for them in earnest love not to be lost. Once they came to this church, they never left here. Every week, new souls were led to this church, and I served them in so much earnest. No one left the church, and this church kept on growing. Now, since this church has grown up so big with countless members, did my faithfulness cool down? Not at all. My heart for the souls has never been cooled down. Nothing was sufficient back then. Everything was lacking. Nevertheless, I did my best. Now, we have more than 1,000 branch churches around the world, and there are countless servants of God and the Levite workers. Is my heart at ease, and did my faithfulness and fervor cool down? My fervency has never cooled down. Servant of God, the Levite workers, and all the title holders, please check your lives. Regarding your position, how different is your current faithfulness from the back then before God? You used to long for your duty and be faithful to do it, but you don't have any duty given now? Or your duty has been the same then and now? Your fervor for the duty hasn't cooled down at all? If you have a true faith, the longer your life has been a Christian, the more faithful you ought to be. Only then can you pass the measurement of the seven spirits. The seven spirits attribute the seven spirits measures as love. Of course, it's a spiritual love that never changes forever. Love plays a role of a band that perfectly binds all the precious six into the completeness. In other words, love makes a faith, joy, prayer, gratitude, keeping the commitments and the faithfulness complete. What does it mean? First of all, if faith lacks love, it is useless. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 says, If you, I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have a love, I am nothing. What you've done is nothing without love, you know, even though you did it with a great faith. The same goes to joy without love. If you felt overjoyed seeing others in trouble, how evil would you be? You don't doze when praying with love. It is difficult for a prayer without love to ascend to God as an incense. The same also goes to gratitude without love. A gratitude devoid of the love fails to truly touch heart, especially the heart of God who sees into the soul of man. I told you earlier that is the true love to keep the commandments of God with the love for God. I also told you that God the Father truly wants to be faithful in the love for God. Love is placed the last because it serves as the unifying the force that binds the other six virtues together, making them whole. The seven spirits of God thoroughly measure how sincerely with the love people manage all these attributes. Gratitude without the love is not a true gratitude. A truly grateful person does not think that once repaying a favor to someone who helped is all done. In novels and movies, it is said that main characters who saved his life due to the help of other person has done everything. When he repays the favor to the one, the main character is alive because the other person saved them. So wouldn't it be right to give the one love and the gratitude forever? If the protagonist hadn't received the help, wouldn't he have been doomed to die forever? So he should always love and be grateful to the person who helped him forever. The This is a true gratitude, and God is pleased to receive it. What true spiritual love is clearly explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4-7. Love is patient, love is kind, and not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act becomingly. It does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account the wrong suffered, does not rejoice in the unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let us count how many attributes love has. Number one, love is patient, kind, not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not see its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. They are 15. Do you practice all of them? Now, it's obvious that they refer to spiritual love. If you are lacking any of this, you need to make up for it. Surely you will find out what is lacking in you. Even though you've listened to the love sermons many times, there are still many out of you who don't achieve even one of these 15. That's why you need to look back on yourself again and again. Now, let's reflect. Let's not just listen to the word, but think carefully about how much you are digesting and practicing the word, and how much you have entered into the spirit. Only then will you be blessed in all areas of your health and life. How lamentable would this be from God's perspective? You've heard the word of so many years, but you just brush them off. You spend 5, 10, 15, and 20 years without going to the spread. How unfortunate is that? I urge you to remember in faith this standard of a spiritual love, no matter what you do. Whenever you pray or work for the Lord, please remember and ponder what refers to spiritual love. Then your prayer and the faithfulness will become perfect. Like this, those who do all things in love are those who truly love God. God the Father wants to gain such a true children who love God in this true love. It is the reason He started a human cultivation. Therefore, I wish you accomplish this true love and become true child of God. And I also hope you do all things with love and get answers by passing the measurement. Dear brothers and sisters, now you can understand what roles the seven spirits of God plays. You can compare the seven attributes that the seven spirits measures to the part of an electric appliance. If any one of them is missing, the electric product won't operate. By the same token, if you lack any of the seven attributes, you cannot receive answer to your prayers. However, I told you earlier that God the justice and the love measures your faith first and set the standards according to your faith level. God the Father said in Exodus chapter 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. God the Father gives mercy to those who need His mercy. And grace to those who need His grace. The reason for His measuring in such a detail is to provide more answers to you. He doesn't intend for the standards to be too high for you to get answers. He wanted everyone to freely receive the answers and be blessed according to their faith level, so He set the standards. Therefore, I pray the name of the Lord, may you do everything with love and receive overflowing grace and blessing from God the Father.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.